Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Zika virus that ravaged much of South and Central America in an epidemic 2 years ago has largely faded from the headlines. But public health researchers suspect it's only a matter of time before another outbreak happens. That's why it's important to find a vaccine before another large-scale outbreak begins. Vaccine researchers at the National Institutes of Health may be on the cusp of doing just that. In the span of just 1 year, they moved a promising vaccine from concept to the second phase of clinical trials. Doctors Barney Graham and Theodore Pearson have been leading the work for NIH, and they are finalists for a Service to America Medal for accelerating the vaccine development process. Dr. Graham talked with me about Zika and how his team moved quickly to develop a vaccine. Graham is the deputy director of the Vaccine Research Center at NIH's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Zika was discovered back in the 1940s, place in Entebbe, Uganda, and then circulated sporadically through Africa and then came to Yap Islands in 2007 and French Polynesia in 2013 and suddenly came to Brazil probably in 2014 and during that next 2 years infected well over 1 million people. And although the disease in the adults was relatively mild with some fever and rash, the devastating problem was that if pregnant women were infected, their babies were damaged and had congenital problems with small heads or microcephaly, just like the congenital disease that happens from rubella infection or from CMV infection. We probably haven't seen the end of it yet, that babies with less damage, maybe with not the microcephaly, but will probably end up with hearing and vision and cognitive problems that we'll only see over the next few years.
So during the recent epidemic, I mean, at what point do you start to realize the seriousness of this disease and that you needed to get to work on a vaccine?
I work at the Vaccine Research Center on the Bethesda campus of NIH. So the Vaccine Center was founded about 20 years ago to work on HIV vaccine. But we've exploited that technology that's been developed over these last 20 years to work on other things of importance. So we also work on universal flu vaccines and Ebola vaccines and respiratory syncytial virus, among others. And we worked on West Nile virus about 10 years ago. And so when Zika came, we have our antennas up anyway because we have to respond to things like the MERS coronavirus outbreak and Ebola and chikungunya. So when Zika was first starting to be noticed, we had already started talking about it and among ourselves and asking what would we do if something was needed. And as it was more clear that microcephaly and congenital disease was associated with infection, and then the WHO announced that it was a public emergency with of global concern, we accelerated the work on making a vaccine. And we borrowed, like I said, some technologies that we have used for other programs and tried to go fast because it's not easy to do vaccine development fast unless you have platform technologies that you've used before. So,
yeah, say a little bit more, if you would, about the steps that you took to actually accelerate the process. How do you go fast when you need to?
We learned a lot 10 years earlier from the West Nile experience. And West Nile and Zika virus are similar types of viruses. They're both flaviviruses. A lot is known about flaviviruses like dengue and others, and even the atomic level structures are known about how these particles come together. So using that basic knowledge and using what we learned from West Nile and knowing that we could make a DNA vaccine under our own manufacturing capacity here and do it within about 100 days, we decided to use that approach. We designed genes that could produce these virus-like particles that aren't a virus. They can't replicate. They don't have the virus genetics, but we can make the protein part of the particle form in the same way as the virus. And so we did that so that when we inject the DNA, the body produces these small particles that resemble the virus and create an immune response. And so we understood that technology. We understood those kind of aspects of the virus. And so when you have that background knowledge and platform manufacturing capacity, you can go fast, at least to get started. And so we compressed the timelines for making decisions, and we did a lot of the animal studies in parallel with the manufacturing, and then did the more advanced animal studies in parallel with the first phase one trials in humans. And within a year from the time we selected the sequence to make the vaccine, we were starting phase two trials in 17 sites in South America and Central America and the Caribbean, southern United States. So that was a pretty fast advancement of the vaccine. And even though that was all done very quickly, by the next mosquito season, there wasn't a lot of Zika circulating. So we may or may not get a efficacy answer from the trials that are going on now, but you know, we've done a lot of work in animal models, including monkeys, and are still hoping to be able to find a way to license the vaccine or make it more available for use if we can show that it's safe and that it works.
Yeah, you've perfectly anticipated my next question, which was how can you press forward with phase two of a clinical trial when there are relatively few cases actually out there at the moment?
Yeah, well, we're working very closely with other government agencies. This has really been a large collaboration, and the people at the CDC have helped us engage modelers who've helped us locate sites where the epidemic still could be moving. So in the northwestern part of South America, and even in places like Sao Paulo in Brazil, haven't been hit yet with Zika, and maybe in Mexico and southern United States, there are still groups of people in that could potentially be infected with Zika. So we don't know, and we have been developing better assays to search for even asymptomatic disease to see if we can get an answer from this trial. So there may be enough residual cases to get an answer. If there's not, we'll proceed with the information we have from our human trials and the information we have from animals that indicates we're making antibody responses in humans that are greater than you need to prevent the virus from infecting monkeys. So we'll take that information to the FDA and work with them about how to make the vaccine available.
Let me just ask a very general question about vaccine research, which is, you know, what makes a virus comparatively easier or more difficult to develop an effective vaccine for? And where does Zika fall in that spectrum as far as you can tell so far?
Zika is a virus that spreads through the blood and has a target organ apart from where the infection started, which was at a mosquito bite. And so in those kinds of viruses and in flaviviruses in general, what you need is an antibody response. And we know now how to induce those kinds of antibodies. And so I would say Zika, on the spectrum of difficulty, is a relatively easy virus to make a vaccine for. The hard part is going fast enough to catch up with the epidemic. There's a lot of reasons why other things are much more difficult for vaccine development, like HIV and influenza. But Zika, on the scale of difficulty, should be relatively easy. One of the things that makes vaccine development difficult for viruses like this is that when it's in the media, when it's getting a lot of attention, there's always a lot of excitement and energy around supporting and funding and licensing and moving that into commercial use. But when these epidemics fade and come out of the media, it's much more difficult to finish the deal and finish the full development of vaccines that are so important for public health. And so one of the things I think we need to do as public health officials and government is to find ways to make these vaccines and finish the deal, even when public attention has drifted off.
That's an interesting point, and I'm a little bit, I have to say, surprised to hear someone who works at NIH say that. I mean, even if you work for a publicly funded research institution, there is still some of what you do that's dictated by public attention and media attention?
Well, you know, NIH and government, and historically, in the way this is set up, are not able to fully advance a vaccine and manufacture it and distribute it and sell it. The business model for that has always been to transfer the information and the technology to industry where vaccines are scaled up and manufactured and distributed and sold. And for things like this that may or may not have sufficient commercial value to really do it that way, we need to find other business models so that we can make these vaccines and finish them for these kinds of public health problems. Right now, we don't really have very good business models for how to do that.
That's Dr. Barney Graham, the Deputy Director of the Vaccine Research Center at the NIH's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. You can find more and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. And subscribe to all of our interviews on iTunes or Podcast One.